Well, good morning. It's been a wonderful morning already, hasn't it? It sure has, and I just feel a little pressured now. Didn't go over very well, Tim, but that's all right. So as we're coming more to a close in our series called The Devoted Life, I wanted to ask you, have you ever made any type of plans, and as you made those plans, everything worked out smoothly, right? And I remember when I had some people help me put together a surprise party for my wife's 40th birthday, and that went well. Now, how many of you have made plans and you put it all together and it didn't go the way that you thought it was supposed to go? Okay, youth ministry, I've been in it for a while, and there's just some games you don't do, okay? I'm just going to leave it at that. And so the reason why I share those things with you this morning is that what we want to look at here in Romans chapter 15, we want to take a look at plans and prayers. We want to look today at plans and prayers. If you're following along in your outline, which is in the church bulletin this morning, we want to see this today, is that the plans we make begin with speaking to God. The plans we make begin with speaking to God. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." And I know in my own life that there are times where I'll begin to do things and or have all these ideas or all these plans that are ready to go, and then turn around and say, "God, you just go ahead and bless it. And you do what you need to do, but I'm going to do what I need to do." And there are a lot of times we miss out on what God has for us. And yet when we begin to understand that there is a God who wants to be intricately and intimately involved in our lives, that can bring us to a place of peace, a place of contentment, as we walk with Him, as He shows us the things that He has for our lives. Last Sunday, we took a time and talked about assignment good news. And we said that God's story is one that needs to be told. And we are people who share God's story and understand what God has done, and also understanding that God is faithful. And as we move forward together over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be finishing out our Devoted Life series next Sunday. And beginning in December 7th, we'll here at Hope begin our Advent season together by looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and a series called His Name Will Be Called. And so I just want to encourage you to be a part of that over the next few weeks together with us here at Hope. And as we look at this passage today here in Romans chapter 15, we're going to be looking at verses 22 through the end, which is verse 33. And what Paul is doing is he's still promising the church at Rome that he is excited, he cannot wait to meet them and see them. And I don't know about you, if any of you are traveling this week for Thanksgiving, I know I am, and we're excited to see not only my wife's family, but my parents are coming up from Georgia to we're all going to meet in North Carolina. I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him in a few years. And so the excitement that's there, we see that Paul is, he just can't wait to meet the Christians in Rome. And what he's going to do is he's going to talk about the plans that he has, and he's going to also request that the church in Rome pray with him and for him. So if you have your Bibles, or even I'll say if you have your device and you have your Bible app on it, let's turn to Romans chapter 15 together. We're going to look again at verses 22 through 33. Romans 15, 22 through 33. Beginning in verse 22, it says, "This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task, and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ.
I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace will be with you all. Amen. And so what we want to do this morning is we want to take a look at the plans that Paul has here in verses 22 through 29. Then we want to look at the prayers in verses 30 to 33. And then what we want to do is we want to make that personal by talking about the space between. So in our verses here this morning, we see the plans that Paul has. What Paul was doing is he was speaking of his work there that was going on in Corinth. And now this happened around 60 A.D., and again, Paul couldn't at this time get to the church in Rome because, once again, he was finishing up his work there in Eastern Mediterranean. And so I have a map here that I want to show you. And imagine being back there in that day and time. So imagine being over in this area here in Macedonia. And then here's Achaia down here. And then he says, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem. But I want to come see you in Rome, and then Spain's over here somewhere on the wall, ceiling. So this is what he's doing. He's saying, listen, I'm in Rome, and I want to get some contributions that were made from the Gentile churches, the Gentile Christians, so that the poor can have some money to help them out. And so he did a lot of traveling. And so could you imagine if there was frequent flyer miles back in that day, right? Paul would have been okay. But here's what Paul says, and in your outline, you're going to see there's four things he says, but the plan that I had was four, but last night I shaved off, so we're down to three. So here's what he says. In verse 24, Paul says, I plan to do so. I hope to see you. In verse 29, he says, I know that when I come to you. Now, if you remember from last Sunday, Paul was one who was committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was good news found in the person of Jesus. He wanted to share it with those who had not yet heard that message. Paul also, what he wanted to do was he wanted to go to Spain. Who doesn't want to go to Spain, you know? I would have. And but we don't know if he got there. But he may have gone. He may have made it after he had visited with the church in Rome. But what Paul was doing in these verses here when speaking of plans, he was speaking of something more pressing. And again, that was going to Jerusalem. And in going to Jerusalem, he was taking, again, the contributions, the money from those churches to those who were poor, not feeling sorry like those poor Jewish Christians. It was those who were in monetary need. And Paul says that the blessing that the churches share together is Christ. It's what Christ and the work that he has done. And because of that, they were sharing materially with them as well. And so when we talk about the plans that Paul is sharing here, well, here's what did happen. When Paul did eventually get to Rome, he was put under house arrest for almost 2 years. So around 60, 61 AD, Paul's put under house arrest. And then within 8 years, around 68 AD, Paul's life was taken by the Romans under Emperor Nero. So Paul had plans, and yet he didn't know what was coming in the future. Paul wanted to see and enjoy the time with the church in Rome, and yet he was put under house arrest. For you and I, we can say, wow, talk about your plans changing. But what we can see here is that our plans don't always go as planned. Our plans don't always go as planned. And sometimes in our life, we may even say out loud or say to ourselves or say to God, God, that was not how it was supposed to go. And I think of that in my own life, as I shared last Sunday, about the native reserve that our family was a part of in Canada, Big Trout Lake. And I shared last Sunday that it has been since 2004, and even to this day, they are still going to run summer camps for children on the native reserve. But what I didn't tell you was how it all began. It all began by myself meeting with another youth pastor who was going to Native Reserves. And so
he said, listen, I'm done going to Big Trout Lake, and I'm going to go to another Native reserve. Would you take it over? And so we prayed about it, and we said, yes, this is for us to do. And so in the summer of 2004, we went with a group of 20 people, and on the second day that we were there, we were taking a tour of the reserve. It's only 1,200 people, 100 kids that live there. And as we're there in the main area of the reserve, there's a hockey arena and a little community center. And as we're walking around, there was a teenager by the name of Winston. And Winston approached us. He actually approached one of my students and began pushing him and becoming verbally abusive with him. This is our first day. And so the people who were with us, giving us the tour, called the police, and he was arrested. And it was in that we found out that what a lot of the teenagers do is that they'll find propane tanks and take the caps off and huff them to get high. And so he was intoxicated. And in that moment, instead of me saying, all right, folks, let's get together, we're going to do this, what did I do? I walked away. And I'll never forget, I go walking in between those two buildings, and I sit down in between those two buildings and basically said, God, this is not how this is supposed to go. We have taken time, we've taken money, we've taken energy, and this is the first time we're here, and this is what happens. You know, like feeling sorry for yourself. And yet it was in that moment that I had to realize that this is not of me. This happened. This kid was intoxicated. This kid came after a group of individuals. And it reminded me, and this is for you and I, when we have those moments to say, this isn't going as planned. This is not how it's supposed to go. The scriptures remind us in Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. It's God that establishes these things for us, and we have to understand and believe that he is sovereign. In other words, he is in control of all things. And that's where our faith kicks in. And for me, my faith didn't kick in that moment. In that moment, it kicked into me and what I wanted. But yet, when we look at these plans in our own lives, and what I'm learning in my own life too, not just from that situation, but in situations that I go, that's not how it was supposed to go. I begin to now say, God, here's my life. Here is my life. What you desire is what I desire. And God, I want to experience all that you have for me. And so that is when we take a look at the plans. They may not go the way we planned, but it's the way that God has planned it. And you know, I think of even with even Lillian sharing today, God's got great and incredible things to do in and through your church. And there may be moments where you feel like, did we make the right decision? Did we do the right thing? But allow God to continue to work in your hearts as leaders and as your church, and you can continue to remind yourself and each other that God is faithful and he will do what he says he's going to do. And so we thank you for sharing your story, and that story is familiar, just like Hope's story as it began. Receiving a church building, merging with another church, go figure. And God used that and our experiences to journey with you in that as well. So we praise God for that. So Paul had plans, but also Paul begins to talk about prayers here in verses 30 through 33. In verse 30, he says, I urge you. He says, to join me. And in verse 31, he says, pray that I might be. So what Paul was doing here in the letter is he's saying, I have a need, and church, I need for you to pray for me. Because going to Jerusalem for me could be my demise. And which we've already learned today that eventually that will happen. And let's be honest, Paul had some legitimate concerns in going. He knew that there would be hostility towards him there in the region of Judea, but also there could be hostility within the Jewish Christian community. He wasn't too sure of how they were going to respond. But what he did was he asked others to join him in praying with him. And for you and I, God desires for us to talk to him. God desires for us to talk to him. You see, in the story of going to Big Trout Lake, one of the things that happened was after that moment of sitting in between those two buildings, I realized it's time to, first of all, go back to where we're staying for the 2 weeks. So we brought everyone together and we went back. And so we're in the church, and the teenagers were frightened, the adults, we were frightened, and Jeff, what are we going to do? And I said, all we can do is we can pray. And as we began to pray and call out to God, it began to rain heavy, thunder, lightning. Oh, it gets better. The power goes out. You know, and then the cries started going even more, you know. So we're all consoling each other. We're all praying and saying, God, if this is really where you want us to be for the next 2 weeks, we will move forward with you. So these are high school students, college students, and adults saying, if this is what you want, that's what we want. And so the next day was Sunday, and we had church together with some of the folks who lived there. And Monday began our camp. Well, who shows up at the camp but Winston? And Winston says to us, he says, listen, I want to let you know that I'm sorry for what I did. I was under the influence. And I'm sorry. And we said, sure, we forgive you, you know, and please feel free to come around in the afternoon, because we ran the camp for younger children during the day. But then we did basketball and other things in the afternoon. And see, the neat thing that happened there was Winston went from being our enemy to being our advocate. Because Winston began to bring some of his cousins to camp. And then he would bring some of his older friends, and we'd play basketball or play soccer. And so in all of that, it was realizing that's how it was supposed to go. We said yes to God. And he said, if you are going to walk in my ways, then let's see how true you are going to be to that. Because listen, Big Trout Lake from Toronto was 2,200 miles away. 24-hour drive and a one-hour flight. So it wasn't like we could get up and go home. But yet, through that, and God's showing me that this is okay. I am faithful. I will get you through it. You come together, and we're going to solidify this team. And so again, 10 years later, there's students who went on that first trip who are leading up the trip now. That's how it was supposed to go. And see, our prayers for you and I can be directed God's way. And again, what happens is that God will bring us peace. God will bring us contentment in those good times, in those tough situations, in those difficult decisions that we need to make. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole heart, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we can begin to say in our lives, God, what you have me going through right now is for my good. Not only that, continue to change me as you please. And let me encourage you to bring others around you, to journey with you, to walk with you, to do life deeply together with you. And you know, when I think about what God has done, I think about how it began. It began with God saying, there is a plan of rescue. I am going to use my son to bring people back to myself. But yet it started with a teenage girl. There was an angel of God who came to Mary. Mary probably had plans. I can't wait to get married, have my own family, have a good standing with my community. And yet an angel came and encountered her and said, you, Mary, have been chosen by God. You, Mary, are highly favored. You're going to carry the Son of God. And through him, he's going to bring redemption to the world. And what was Mary's response? I am your servant. Understanding that she would shame her family name, she would be ostracized by her community, and it could even mean the loss of life. And yet Mary says, I am your servant. If this is what God wants, that's what I want. And we move forward to a garden where Jesus was praying. And he says, Father, there is a cup that represents your wrath against sin. But if this is what you want for me to put the weight of the sin of the world upon myself, I will do what you want me to do. And through that, through his death and his burial, and by the power of God, his resurrection, you and I understand and know that salvation is available to all through Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, in the things that I go through, in the things that I deal with, the things that I face, how am I responding? Am I responding as one who says, yes, God, I am your servant. Do what you please. I am yours. You have my heart. And he is there. And I've already said he's faithful. He wants for us to come to him with every single detail of our lives. So Paul finishes here in verse 33 of chapter 15. He says, may the God of peace be with you all. And so in light of what Paul is about to do, Paul knew that God was with him and God was for him. He knew that God's peace would bring about a calm and it would bring about a security in his heart. An internal calmness to say that whatever may come my way, I have such a stillness of my heart that I cannot explain. But I know that God is with me. And I know that he's gone before me. And I know what he's going to do through me. And it's the same for both you and I. Whatever our situation, whatever our dilemma may be, that we can choose to say, God, please give me the peace that I need. Not just to survive this, but to be strengthened by it, to understand that you're the one who gives me what I need through your Son to do what you've asked me to do. But in the plans that we make, it begins with speaking to God. And so we see that Paul had plans, Paul had prayers, and now for you and I, we want to make that personal. We want to talk about the space between. What does that look like for us when it's the plans, the prayers, and waiting to hear from God? And so the first we see here this morning is that in the space between, wait patiently. In the space between, wait patiently. How many of you are, once the Halloween's done, it's Christmas? Okay, a couple of you. How many of you would do Christmas all year round? Okay, you're not Buddy the Elf. How many of you would say that Christmas begins after Thanksgiving? I couldn't believe it. I was in Sears in October, and the Christmas stuff was going on. I'm going, really? Wow, that's crazy. And it went from, like, here's the Black Friday deals to the Black Friday month deals, you know? And I'm like, wow, really? And then, like, B101 is already started. Christmas music. But guess what, folks? Christmas still comes at the same day every year, December 25th. And so the reason I share that with us is that we have to wait. Now, you could have Christmas today, you could have Christmas tomorrow, but just know that it's December 25th. And see, there are things in our lives that God has for us, but he wants for us to wait patiently. He doesn't want us to jump ahead. He doesn't want for us to lag behind. He wants for us to walk with him. And so really what we have to ask is, so then what do I do while I wait? And so what we do is we live by a faith that says God will come through. But yet we go to him. We go to him and share our hopes and our dreams and our desires and even our hurts and how we feel that it's not fair. But yet we go to him and trusting and knowing that he comes through. Not only that, but we trust that God has a good reason because it's his reason for the delay in our lives. We wait patiently, and we are ready to accept what that answer may be. Because God may say no. Do we trust that he knows what he's doing? God may say yes, but there may be times where God is still saying, I want you to wait a little bit longer because there's things in your life that I still want to continue to work on. So in the space between, you and I wait patiently. Pastor and author Stephen Furtick wrote in his book, Crash the Chatterbox, he said, see, God's assessment of you isn't limited by where you have been before or even where you are now. His words reflect the places he plans to take you and the purposes he intends to fulfill through you. God's always wanting to do a work in us, and he's always doing something new. And we have the sensitivity while we're waiting patiently to ask God, what are you doing in the world that I can be a part of. And so in the space between, we wait and understand that God will do what he says he will do. The second is this, is that in the space between, enjoy God's presence. In the space between, enjoy God's presence. How many of you like Oreos? Okay, as a kid, I would take the Oreos and, you know how, remember the commercial, you turn it and then either you lick it or you rip it right off or you dunk it, however. And I enjoyed eating Oreos, as you can tell. But what I loved doing as a kid was I'd turn it and chew it and throw the cookie out. Why? Because that was the sweetest part of the cookie. I mean, that's where it was, man. It was the filling, you know. And just a quick advertisement, if you go to Cold Stone Creamery, they actually have like Oreo filling. Just saying. So that's how you could pray for me, okay? But when we look at that idea of that sweet place, that's what it's like with us for God. He desires to be with us. He created us. He desires to hear from us. And that's where, even in the waiting, even in the plans, even in the prayers, we know that we can enjoy his presence. In the Gospels, there was another Mary who enjoyed God's presence. And Jesus came to her home, and she laid at his feet. And Mary's sister, Martha, was running around and doing everything like, Jesus, are you going to get her off her lazy rear end and start working? And Jesus is like, you're missing it, Martha. This is where it's at. This is the sweet spot. That she would lay by my side and enjoy me. And yet, for many of us, and including myself, we run around and we rush and we try to think like God does, or we try to have all the answers and try to be so busy, and yet we miss out on the moments just to sit with him and enjoy his serenity and enjoy that peace that he can give us, and to calm our souls and to remind us that everything will be all right in his time and in his way. So how do we enjoy God's presence? We live by a faith that says, God is here with me. Not only that, we trust that God will bring peace to our situation. And let's be ready to embrace that time with him, rather than running around and being so busy that we miss out on him. Author Elizabeth Gilbert, in her book, Eat, Pray, and Love, says, there's a reason they call God a presence, because God is right here, right now. So in the space between, enjoy. God is closer than you may think. So we started this morning by saying that the plans we make begin with speaking to God. And in that time, in that space between, let's be people who wait and enjoy. And I want to encourage us that we can be people who have plans, but maybe we can begin to be people who have plans and we turn those plans into prayers and saying, God, if this is what you want, that's what I want. I mean, we heard that today from a church called New Road and from a family who thought things were supposed to go a certain way and they didn't. But yet God already knew that's how it was supposed to go. And we can be in awe of how he works in and through our lives. And maybe for some of us today, maybe we've been holding on to plans tightly. And maybe we need to begin to loosen that grip and allow God's peace and his presence to saturate our hearts and our minds and our lives. And what would that look like in your life? If you began to say, God, my plans are your plans. My ways are your ways. I commit these to you. I will be one who waits. I will be one while I'm waiting. I will enjoy you. And maybe there's things today that you can just say today. A plan becomes a prayer. This plan becomes a prayer. This plan becomes a prayer. This plan becomes a prayer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May we be a people who is sensitive to the leading of God. May we be obedient to say, God, I want to go where you go. I want to make a mark in this world because of you. And maybe it's even being bold to say, God, I don't want to live comfortable. But I know that when I live in your will, you will give me the peace that I need to move forward with you. Father, we come to you this morning and we are so grateful that you are a God who is not only faithful, but a God who will show us your ways if we just open up our hearts and our lives to you. May we continue, and if we haven't, may we start today to commit our plans to you. And Lord, if we have been praying and praying and praying, may we be patient. We know that your word says when we wait on you, we only grow stronger. Father, we want our desire to be your desire. And so this morning, we just want to give those things, whether they may be little and we may feel that they're insignificant, to the big things about the hurts that we've had or our future that we look forward to or the decisions that we even need to make today. Let us be a people who seeks you, that we seek your face, that we say, where you lead, I'm going to go. And when you tell me to stop, I will stop. When you tell me to move, I will move. Lord, we thank you again for the work that you're doing at New Road. Father, I pray that in those moments that they feel that it may not, what did we do? That they look to you for truth, they look to you for strength and encouragement, that they would be people who are united, that the community that they're going to in Huntington Valley would see that there is a God who is real and that the person of Jesus Christ brings hope and brings life, that they will be the light to that community as we are here. So thank you again for your son, Jesus Christ, who did say, not what I want, but what you want, Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.